Hello, everyone. Welcome to Gentle Healing. It's good to see you all entering into the room. I do have kind of an announcement just to make, just kind of a technical announcement, but I know that people are still entering the room, so I think what I'll do is I'll play our opening song first, and then I'll make the announcement right after the song. By then, at least a few more people will be here and be able to hear the announcement, right? So the song that I'm playing is by an artist named Irma D, and the name of the song is I Am Love.
Beyond all time and space, before the world began, I knew you and love you still. You are written on my palm. Within my beating heart, your redemption has been won. Love wins in the living soul of a father. Thank you.
Wow. I think that's an incredible song. I don't know how you guys felt about it, but I think it's incredible. And what's also incredible to me is that this song only has 589 views, and I'm probably at least five of them. I don't get that. It's such a great song. So for some reason, people don't know about it. So it's called Irma D, and that's her name, and then I Am Love. Yeah, it's a great song, huh? So welcome again to Gentle Healing Group. And the thing that I wanted to share is that something has happened somewhere, technically, beyond us, beyond Awakening Together, where for some reason, on some devices, the most recent posts don't show up. You know, if you wait a few days, I think like if you look back last week, I think any posts that were made last week show up now. You guys can check that for me. But for a few days after we posted, it doesn't show up. And that's only happening on some devices, and that has nothing to do with Awakening Together. Something else out there somewhere has changed. So I wanted to let you know, because I've gotten a few emails from people saying things like, you know, the audio wasn't posted, or I can't find the homework. And they're even telling me, I went there and looked and it's not there. And at first I had Jacqueline and Ken and I, we all three looked and we're like, it's there. You know, I don't know why they aren't seeing it. But then one day I happened to go on my phone, and on my phone it wasn't there. When Jacqueline and Ken and I looked for it, we were all three on our computers. So something has happened. Don't know what it is, but I just wanted to make you aware that we are still posting things in the way that we always do. But depending on your device, you might not see it. So again, one great way to always get the post is to be subscribed to the Awakening Together Daily Update. If you're subscribed to the Awakening Together Daily Update, then on Wednesday morning in your update email, you will have the link to the audio and the homework. Also, you know, we had promised that we would post the tips. For those of you who are not in Facebook, we had promised that we would post the tips by noon Eastern time on the day of the workbook lesson, so you can go and get the tip, and we are doing that. But if you have one of these devices that's not seen the most recent posts, you don't see it. So the only answer that I have about that is to say, the best way to get the tips is to go ahead and join Facebook and then join the sharing and contemplation group. If your device isn't seeing the most recent posts, that's the best way to get the tips. Where do you sign up for the daily updates? You go to awakening-together.org and you click on the menu that says Join Us. And then you'll see where you can subscribe to daily updates. Again, that's awakening-together.org, and then underneath the Join Us menu. So that was my announcement. Sorry, I can't fix it, but I can't. all right, so that means that now it's time for you all to share based on your experience with the homework in the last week. And this past week, we were looking at workbook lessons 73 to 79, and we also read NTI 1 Thessalonians. So, who would like to share? All right, Bart, the mic is yours.
Practicing awareness as per instructions, and I realized at one time that awareness or in presence is lurking, looking through my eyes. And so I practice that throughout the day because
sorry, I had my mic over my head. Okay, awareness looking through my eyes. This was the experience I had. It was practiced throughout the day because, as you know, we live in paradise. And so I sat out in back with all the statues, the growth, and so on. And this awareness kept looking through my eyes. So I don't know, or presence, what that's about, but I think that's where we're supposed to go. So, in Lesson 74, when I realize that the will of God is my will too, that makes it easy. Anytime I experience difficulty in life, I realize that I have been listening to the ego, and the ego's will is always in opposition to God's, and his self will run riot. That's from AA's big book. Listening to the ego always led me into trouble. The only way I can enjoy peace of mind is to be still, no matter what is going on, and listen to my heart / intuition. And I realize that God is only an ever infinite love and loves me infinitely. So I don't have to be confused. And, sorry, I had to cough. The rest of the lessons seem to be more or less on the same theme. And so that's my sharing for today. And here we go. Releasing the mic.
Thank you very much, Bart. And yeah, I agree, that experience of having awareness or presence looking through your eyes, that is moving in the right direction. Nancy, the mic is yours.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay, great. And is the volume okay? Okay, great. So I think I have to keep pressing down on the mic on the screen, is that correct? To keep so that you guys can hear me? Okay. All right. I'm a little nervous. I want to speak and I don't want to speak, but here I am. So I wanted to talk today about lesson 76. I am under no laws but God's. Oh, if I click on hold, I don't see hold here. But anyway, I'll just keep my hand down because I don't suck hold, whatever that is. Yeah, okay, I'll just keep my hand down. Anyway, I'm under no laws but God's. And the reason why I wanted to speak today is because I did do all of the lessons about a year and a half ago. I had completed my first time having done the lessons, and so this is the second time now that I'm going through the lessons, and I have never gotten to a lesson even in the first round where I had felt so much resistance and got so much in touch with my sense of separation. And essentially there's quite a bit that's going on in my life right now, where I've been feeling, pretty scared, but the issue that has been, up for me, and that's been really, really big, is that my stepfather passed away about a little over a year ago, and he took care of all of the finances for my mother, and now it's up to me to do that. It's been my responsibility to do that, and so she has a pretty large financial portfolio, and it's a lot of money, and I've just been very, very anxious about, you know, selecting a financial advisor who can reallocate her funds. And my history with money is not good. So I'm responsible for a lot of money that I've never seen or have had to handle in my life. So this lesson was extremely difficult for me to practice, really. And I pretty much gave myself the leeway to just do the best that I could with it. And that's basically it. I really like the way the NTI, Thessalonians chapter 3 and 4 helped me to understand the lesson. There's a section in chapter 4 where I think I've been feeling around having to work with this money or be somewhat responsible for it. I just feel like I'm doing everything wrong, or I'm going to mess it up, or I'm not good with money and whatever. And in Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, the belief in sin does not come from action. And I'm not sure I understand the word sin correctly, but I think of sin as wrongdoing. And so that sentence was helpful. It says, the belief in sin does not come from action. The belief in sin seems manifest action, but belief always comes from the mind. No one can experience the effects of the belief unless he first holds to the belief within his own mind. Therefore, I ask you to look in the mind in peace and trust in order to be rid of a false belief. So, of course, this all has to do with my own beliefs about not knowing how to manage money. The other thing I wanted to point out for me was, let me recognize the problem so it can be solved. So I've also had difficulty with this lesson regarding the same issue around money. And it became clear to me that what I'm experiencing really and truly is my sense of separation. And there's usually not an awareness of it. And there certainly wasn't that much of an awareness of that in this issue around money. But now I'm very, very clear that this is where I'm really experiencing in a very visceral way. I mean, I am terrified. So I'm experiencing in a very visceral way my sense of separation. So that's my sharing for today. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Nancy. Very good. And it was good to hear your voice. I think that's the first time that I've heard your voice. So that was really sweet. Your voice is very sweet. And as far as locking the mic, I don't know what kind of device you're using, whether you're using a PC or a Mac or a phone. If you just kind of glance at where the microphone button is, you won't be able to take it now because I have it, but you'll notice there's like a little tiny lock right next to the microphone. And next time, if you just click on that picture of a lock, just click on that, and then you can take your hand off and talk, you know, without having to press on the button. And then when you're done, you just click on that little picture of a lock again. So one click on the lock locks it, another click on the lock unlocks it. Yeah, good. Good. All right. Who else would like to share? Yeah, we finished early today. Okay, Tony, the mic is yours.
Hi, everyone. I have my earbuds in, and there's a little microphone in there. Does everyone hear me all right? Okay. I just wanted to comment on lesson 78, Let Miracles Replace All Grievances. And I happen to be looking at some Adyashanti audios, and one of the things that he was talking about really kind of sent the message home for me about letting miracles replace all grievances. And what he was saying is that you have to allow the story of you and the story of everyone else to be laid aside. You know, what would I be without the story of me? You know, my name is Tony. I was born in Cleveland, and I'm this old. I'm married, you know, blah, blah, blah. And all of the filler that goes in between all of that stuff. So trying to imagine all of the stories that I have is what really is the grievances, the ideas, the opinions, the images, the labels that I have about myself, about others, and about the world. And so if I can start to imagine what presence would be like if I were to drop all of those ideas. And of course, that's, for me, I think it's going to be a slow process, but it's happening, and I'm willing to continue. But it just really struck me as a helpful way to be able to replace my grievances. And that's what I wanted to say. Thank you very much for dropping the mic.
Thank you very much, Tony. I appreciate that sharing. Would someone else like to share? I don't see any takers at this point, so what I will do is I will just go ahead and begin my sharing then. So I will start by sharing from NTI, 1 Thessalonians. The day that I read NTI, 1 Thessalonians, for the first time, I read it a couple of times this week, but the day that I read it for the first time, we were on lesson 74. And lesson 74 is, there is no will but God's. But what we were asked to say that day was, there is no will but God's. I seek his peace today. There is no will but God's. I seek his peace today. And it's interesting because, of course, 1 Thessalonians is all about peace. It says, through peace, it is I that you shall know. I am that which is known as the peace of the heart. And what I found myself writing in the margin is, peace equals true self equals God. You know, it's so easy to have concepts about what God is and even concepts about what the true self is. And I think that sometimes we can miss our experiences with God or our experiences with the true self because we're looking for something grand like the parting of the Red Sea. And I think that we miss the fact that just that peace is it. I'm going to call God it instead of he. That peace is it. And when we sit in meditation or even sit in contemplation, you know, oftentimes I'm sure that we all feel that peace. In fact, I think that's the reason that I have always loved contemplation and now meditation more than anything else. Ever since I started contemplation, it was always my favorite thing. Even though there were many other things and people that I enjoy, it was my favorite thing. And the reason it was my favorite thing is because of that deep, deep peace that I would be immersed in when I was in contemplation or now in meditation. And, you know, I don't know that I would have called that peace God, or that I even would have called that peace my true self. And yet, at the same time, I absolutely knew that it was related. Right? I absolutely knew that it was related. I knew I only felt that quality of peace when I was focused on contemplation. Right? When I was really focused on God, that's the only time I felt that quality of peace, that depth of peace. What I wrote in the margin is peace equals, let me just write it here for you. Peace equals self equals God. Peace equals self equals God. And what I think is valuable about that realization is, when we are in contemplation or in inspirational reading or inspirational listening or inspirational looking, you know, I've been in inspirational looking, you know, like in a church or in nature, right? Inspirational looking, or in meditation. And we feel that peace. We are literally in the arms of God or in touch with our true self at that moment. And I think it's important for us to acknowledge that and to realize that's what that is, because that's going to help end the seeking. Right? That's going to help end the seeking, is recognizing it for what it is. And also, I think I mentioned this the other night in the Seven Steps teaching, that Ramana Maharshi refers to the heart. And by the way, in this case, the heart is the same as peace, self, God. Ramana Maharshi refers to the heart as a magnet that pulls the little self in until the self merges with the heart. And so when we feel that peace, whether, again, we're doing inspirational reading, contemplation, meditation, some type of inspirational looking, when we feel that peace, it is really good, I think, just to stop and be in it. Stop and be in the recognition of it. And let it do to us whatever it is doing. You know, Eckhart Tolle, there's a quote from Eckhart Tolle when he's talking about contemplation. And he says, when you're reading the written word, if you feel peace, then the written word is doing its work on you, or something like that. Of course, it's not really the written word that's doing its work on you. It's God or the true self or the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. That's what's doing its work on you. And you may not be hearing any messages. You may not be having any, you know, incredible realizations. but something's happening. And so just to linger in that peace, I feel has so much value. Just to sit and be in it. That's all I have to really say about page 363. So I'm flipping along over to page 364 if you guys want to follow along with me. If you want to, you're not required. But if you want to follow along with me as I go through NTI 1 Thessalonians, I'll tell you where I'm at. So right now I'm flipping over to page 364. And at the top of page 364 it says, "Take care to be grateful for every moment of peace that comes to greet you. And it is moments of peace that you shall continue to know." So that kind of follows what I just said very well. So when we feel those moments of that peace, that special quality of peace that we know is God, right? Or self. When we feel that quality of peace, to be grateful in it. You know, I said to be in it, to linger in it, and this says to go ahead and be grateful in it. And many of you, I know, are familiar with the law of attraction. It wasn't that many years ago when The Secret was very popular and many of us watched it. And what you might remember from The Secret or the law of attraction is that whatever you are grateful for, you attract. Wow. So what about being grateful for that peace, which is God, or our true self? What about just lingering in it, being in it, and being grateful for it? Take care to be grateful for every moment of peace that comes to greet you. And it is moments of peace that you shall continue to know. And I have a favorite Islamic mystic. Her name was Rabia. And Rabia used to refer to this peace as a kiss from God. And she talked about how every night God would come to kiss her. She was a slave. She was sold into slavery when her father died. And she worked very hard all day. There's different stories about the type of work that she might have done, but we know that she worked very hard, hard labor all day. And so night was the only time she had to be with God, and so she must not have required much sleep, because as the story goes, she would stay up with God all night long. And, you know, she referred to this peace as the kiss, and she says in one of her poems that every night he would come and kiss me. You know, every night he would kiss me. Every night he would kiss me. And then one night he came and kissed me and never left again. I just think that's incredibly beautiful. You know, just imagine that peace that settles down over us again when we're in our most inspired moments. You know, in contemplation or meditation or whatever it is for you. Maybe you felt it when that song was playing at the beginning, depending on how deeply you were listening to the song. Imagine that peace coming and never leaving again. And that's what this is saying, that if we continue to have gratitude for it every time it comes, right? I mean, it's just like God comes and God kisses me and I say, "Thank you for that kiss. I love your kisses." And then God comes again and kisses me. "Thank you for that kiss. I love your kisses." You know, and then one day God comes and kisses me and never leaves, because I had so much gratitude for it, because it was the most important thing to me, the most important thing of all. In fact, one of the things that it does say back on page 363 is it says, "I come upon you," and think about that peace, it comes upon us, doesn't it? "I come upon you to remind you of that which you are." Because like I said, that peace, it's not only God, it's the self. Those are two different words for the same thing. Right? Two different words for the same thing. So it's what I am. That peace is what I am. I come upon you to remind you of that which you are. I have no other purpose. To know me and peace, put no other purpose before me. Right? So when that peace is the most important thing to us, like it was to Rabia, you know, we're really asking God or asking the self to come and never leave, to just take us over. Through our love of it, right? Through our love of it. I'm going to move on to NTI, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I get a little more time today so I can go a little slower. It's kind of nice. Although I don't want to discourage you guys from sharing, because the truth is I want you to share. I don't want to come here and talk for 2 hours every week. I want to hear from you. It gives me an idea of where you're at, right? I want to know where you're at with this. But also it's kind of nice to be able to go a little more slowly through NTI 1 Thessalonians because it's so beautiful. So NTI 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 starts off, your viewpoint is everything. The way you look at the world determines the world you see. Therefore, it is time for you to look carefully at the way you look at the world. And one thing that's really interesting about those sentences is that tonight I'm going to be sharing with you from The Way of Mastery, Chapter 9. And those sentences that I just read are the primary point in The Way of Mastery, Chapter 9. So I won't say too much about it right now since we'll be talking about it in the next hour. But I'll just read the sentences again, and then, you know, then we'll hear the rest when I read from Way of Mastery. Your viewpoint is everything. The way you look at the world determines the world that you see. Therefore, it is time for you to look carefully at the way you look at the world. So that's what we're going to do tonight with the Way of Mastery. So just moving on next. Peace is the guiding light that you must follow as you learn to look within the mind. For it is peace that leads you to the recognition of truth, and it is lack of peace that reminds you that you are not following your way. You know, we could say that ultimately peace has no opposite, and everyone will come to see that even if you don't see that yet. The peace is always here. You know, if I'm really angry and upset, the peace is here allowing the anger and the upset to be here. You know, the peace is always here, just like the space in the room is always here. But it doesn't seem that way, right? Until the mind is more healed, it doesn't seem that way. It seems that peace comes and goes, and that its opposite is lack of peace. And so what this is saying is whether we're experiencing peace right now or whether we're experiencing lack of peace right now, both of them can be used to call us towards God. It's not like when we're experiencing lack of peace, we are failing. And Lori, I see that you have a question. So what I'm going to do when I finish NTI is I'll ask you to ask your question again. And deal with it, and I'll answer it then. So peace, again, peace and lack of peace are both guiding you toward God. So the way peace guides you toward God is what I've already talked about. You know, when that peace comes over us, we'd be grateful for it. We just be in it. We just linger in it. It's like a magnet. It's calling us home. But lack of peace is like an alarm clock to wake us up. Lack of peace is calling us to look at ourselves right now. Look at our minds right now. So if I'm going along and I'm happy and I'm peaceful and then, you know, something happens and I find myself getting annoyed, the peace is going to seem to go away, and the lack of peace is going to seem to be there. Maybe it feels like, you know, it feels like annoyance. I said I was annoyed. As soon as I notice I'm not at peace anymore, that's a signal for me to look. Look at the thought that I just believed, or look at the story that I'm currently believing. And of course, one of the things that we have already learned in the Gentle Healing Group is when you look at a thought or you look at a story, you kind of want to, I call it peek under the covers. You want to look at the content, right? You don't want to look at the story exactly, because that may be believable. You know, some guy may have just cut you off in traffic and caused you to swerve and almost have an accident. And guess what? That did just happen. And, you know, and so if you're looking at that story and you know, you have a reason to be upset maybe. So what we have to do, remember, is we have to look under the story a little bit at the content. You know, while I'm sitting here cursing this person in my mind who cut me off in traffic, what kind of a thought is that? You know, and you could call it an anger thought, an attack thought, a hate thought. You could even call it a separation thought. And then the question becomes, do I want anger? Is that what I want in my experience? Or do I want peace? Do I want hate? Or do I want peace? Right? Separation or peace, you know, depending on what content you saw there. And based on the content that you want, you make a choice. And what we're, of course, trusting is that if you're here in the Gentle Healing Group, the choice you're going to make is for peace, which means you're going to let that story go. I mean, you know, and you might say something to yourself like, okay, yeah, I just got cut off on traffic, but it's over. It's not anything I want to focus on. I'm going to let that go and then just return your mind to your workbook lesson. All right, whatever way works for you to make that shift from being focused on that story to being focused on what you really want. So lack of peace also calls us to God, because it wakes us up to looking at our mind. It wakes us up to checking that content. It wakes us up to checking and seeing if that's really what we want to be focused on, if that's really the experience we want to have. And actually, I feel a pause right now, so even before I go on, I'll go ahead and look at Lori's question and answer it. So let's see what Lori says. I have a question about inner guidance or intuition. I have been asking for direction from inner guidance. What do I do next? What do I say next, etc.? But it always just feels like the response is coming from thought. I've been listening to your audios, especially regarding intuition, but feel a lot of doubt. Yeah, well, you know, you may have just used the word next, and you know, but let me go ahead and make this point anyway, because the word next prompted me to make this point. One thing about inner guidance, again, is we always want to ask, what do I do now? What do I say now? How do I see this now? And that may be what you meant here, Lori, and that's fine. But I want to go ahead and comment on it anyway, because it is a common error for people to seek guidance about something that isn't here now. You know, maybe somebody's worried about, you know, somebody they're going to see tomorrow. And they want guidance about what to say tomorrow when they see that person. And guidance is always about here and now. So keep that in mind, that, you know, you're asking for what am I to say now, what am I to do now, how am I to see this now, right? Keep that in mind. But beyond that, you said you always feel like the response is coming from thought. In the beginning, if you ask, I would trust what comes. It doesn't mean you won't occasionally make mistakes and be listening to your ego, because you may. But your intention is really, really powerful, much more powerful than you probably know. So if your intention is to listen to guidance, you really want guidance, not your will, and you're doing your best, you're going to naturally hone yourself if you kind of just do it. One thing that I experienced when I was learning to listen to guidance is that my doubt or my fear that I might listen to the wrong voice kept me from even trying to listen to guidance. You know, like I was so afraid that I would listen to the wrong voice that I really didn't even try. And of course, if I don't try, I'm definitely going to listen to the wrong voice. You know, that was like kind of a trick. So if you have a genuine intention to listen to guidance, ask and then trust whatever you feel or hear. And it will take care of itself. You know, it will tune in itself. You'll learn just by doing. You know, some things like riding a bike, right? Somebody can tell you all about riding a bike. But there's no friggin' way you're going to learn how to ride a bike until you get on it and try. And most of us fell at least once or twice, right? The only way you're going to learn how to ride a bike is to ride a bike. That's the same thing with guidance. The only way you're going to learn how to follow intuition and listen to guidance is to have that intention and practice. And again, you may make mistakes every now and then, but that's okay, actually. You know, it's okay. It's how we learn. Did that answer your question, Laurie? Okay, good. Yeah, just keep going for it. That intention is very powerful. Everybody tunes in their own way. And again, I can talk about it, but it's like trying to talk about how to ride a bike. Most important thing is the intention. That's the most important thing. What do you want? Everybody's saying me too. That was my question too. That was my question too. See how much alike we are? Yeah. All right. So let me go back to NTI 1 Thessalonians. So NTI 1 Thessalonians says, when fear intrudes on peace, you will hear it if you are listening. It talks about how there will be a slight upset or a little stab thrust upon your peace and then an immediate desire to deny the thought or feeling. And that's why you have to be listening. You have to be paying attention to yourself is what that means. If you're not paying attention to yourself, you can have a judgment thought, an attack thought very quickly and deny it so quickly you never even see it. People refer to that as unconscious, but it's not actually unconscious. It's just fast. But for a brief moment, it was there. Maybe even less than a second, a nanosecond. For a brief moment, the thought was there, believed, and then denied. Very, very quickly. And in fact, if you aren't to that point yet, as you go through this process that we're going through, you're going to see more and more of those thoughts that you weren't seeing before, these fast ones. You'll start to see them and you'll go, wow, you know, I've been believing that all my life and just now saw it, you know. So we have this habit mechanism of quickly believing ideas, you know, feeling that contraction and then quickly denying what we just saw. And so one of the things we want to do is we want to start noticing the contractions. The contraction, you know, whatever way that you feel pained for a moment, you know, the contraction is more visible than the fast thought. And so if we pay attention for the contraction, that again will give us the opportunity to look and see what was that thought I just believed. And you can see it if you look for it. But if we ignore the contractions, it'll just quickly go into denial and we won't see it. So this is really asking us again to see that lack of peace, even that very quick little contraction, as an opportunity for awakening. Right? As an opportunity to look and see, what is it that I'm believing now? What is it? And Joanna's saying contraction. Do you mean tenseness in your chest? That's one way you can feel it. It's, You know, the best way to describe it is it's not peace. It's not peace. And it can feel like a tenseness. It can, you know, but it's not peace. It could be a quick little feeling of anger, a quick little feeling of unworthiness, embarrassment, jealousy, you know, anything. Guilt. I was wondering what guile was. Guilt. Yeah. So this is telling us again that these things that, you know, our mind wants to perceive as, here's what our mind wants to do, especially our spiritual mind. Our mind wants to pretend like, you know, our mind wants to tell us that as a spiritual person, I shouldn't be feeling these things. As a spiritual person, I should be at peace all the time. And if I'm not at peace all the time, if I do feel a little stab of jealousy or envy or anything else, right? That makes me bad, and therefore it needs to be denied. This is what the spiritual ego says. And really what's happening here in NTI 1 Thessalonians is it's trying to reinterpret that for us. It's saying, no, 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 no. These little stabs of peace are not bad. And these little stabs of lack of peace are not bad. You know, that's the ego saying that little stab is bad. This is saying, no, 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 it's not bad, it's good. It's good because it's an opportunity for you to see something that you can let go of and therefore draw yourself closer to God, closer to truth. So these are wonderful opportunities. And in fact, if I skip over to NTI Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, do not accept temptation to deny the interruptions to peace. Pick them up and look at them in joy. Pick them up and look at them in joy. For you have recognized that which you were tempted to deny. Do not deny the thought that has occurred, and do not accept it, which means do not believe it. Set it aside because it is not true, and continue joyously on the path of peace. So this is telling us that instead of believing that spiritual ego, which says, I'm bad if I got angry, or I'm bad if I got jealous, or I'm bad if I, you know, whatever, and I need to quickly deny this, it's saying, no, no, be so grateful that you felt that. Be grateful that you felt that stab of jealousy, or that stab of envy, or that stab of embarrassment, or, you know, whatever it was, and take it out in joy. Be so happy. Yay, here's something that I can take and let go of instead of repressing. Yay, 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 this is bringing me closer to awakening, which is my goal. I'm so glad I saw this, right? Celebrate it, right? That's what NTI Thessalonians is saying. And if you can learn to celebrate finding these things in yourself, you will make progress much faster. So instead of being, instead of letting the spiritual ego convince you you shouldn't have felt that way, right? Let the healing Holy Spirit help you see these things, look at them, and let them go. Much, much more productive. And in fact, it says to use each and every occurrence for the purpose of healing. It calls that consistent practice and steady healing. Right? To use each and every occurrence for the purpose of healing. That's consistent practice and steady healing. Sounds like the consistent gentle healing group, right? Just consistently looking at every one of those lacks of peace in whatever way they show up. It says, lack of peace in any measure is an opportunity to be healed, no matter how small. Lack of peace in any measure is an opportunity to be healed. And again, we want to celebrate that we're finding these opportunities because healing is what we want, right? So this is really, really good. Let's see. I think my time is just about done here. So so I'm going to go ahead and stop. There's obviously more here in Thessalonians, but I'm going to go ahead and stop there. You know, I had a paragraph highlighted, but Nancy already read that paragraph, the one about how, about the the belief in sin, right? And sin, remember, is just forgetfulness. It means you're forgetting the truth, right? It's just forgetfulness. So whenever you're believing in sin, believing you're guilty or someone else is guilty, you're just in forgetfulness in that moment. All right. So, does anybody have anything they want to share? Just to give me a little break between Thessalonians and Way of Mastery. Kind of like you want a break between your meal and dessert. I guess not. All right, then. Let me move on over to the Way of Mastery. Kathy says she did not do all of her homework, so she cannot share. Great integrity there, Kathy. Yeah. Is the journaling you didn't do? Did you do the reading and the workbook lessons? If you did the reading and the workbook lessons, I think that's sufficient. You can share. If you have something to share, Kathy. Okay, yeah, the hands went up. Look at that. Oh, my goodness. All right, so Joanne, your hand went up first. The mic is yours.
Okay, can you hear me? Okay, good. Yeah, I've been doing the homework, I think, like, the last 3 weeks. I've been doing all the homework. Some of the lessons I haven't done like to the level that I would like to have done, but I haven't journaled at all, and part of that is just I'm working on slowing down and you know, just being more genuine or authentic. It's almost like I have to learn how to live again. It's a very strange feeling. But what I wanted to say was that I'm falling in love with NTI all over again. I've always loved NTI, but, you know, as we dive into this, it's just really, really speaking to me, you know. And I'm just really grateful for all of this and all of you. And, yes, I've done my homework, but I haven't journaled. Okay, letting go of the mic.
Yeah, thank you very much, Joanne. And we'll just say that, you know, the homework that you have to do in order to share is the homework that's posted as the homework. And I don't think you're going to find journaling posted as the homework, although that's definitely a recommendation. I don't think it's ever posted as the homework. So if you don't get to journaling, you know, we'll overlook that and let you share. Lynn, the mic is yours.
Okay. Because a lot of it is repeating what was in chapter 4 for Thessalonians, but I will hear. I was reading it. It says, therefore I ask you to look in the mind in peace and trust in order to rid yourself of false belief. And I wrote, show me how. Show me how to forgive what I feel is unforgivable. And it is a lack of peace for me. Sin is a complete disassociation from who I am. If my peace is unsettled, it is because I have forgotten who I am. Know that sin is only forgetfulness and seek to remember who you are. Remember for them too and hold the light for them. See that you both have just forgotten. See the disturbance and let it go. It is not what you truly want. The disturbance has just clouded your vision, so let the cloud pass. Do not hold and harbor the disturbance to your peace. Remember that love is all there is, and then be confident in the light and let the effects of sin pass through your mind in peace and without acceptance. Sin is not possible in a world without where separation is not real and love is all there is. So always be gentle with yourself and accept your emotions in peace and quietness. Seek the memory of truth. There you will find peace and a quiet trust in God as all that truly is. And then I happened to be reading Jesus Always by Sarah Young, and it says, even when your circumstances look dark and threatening, my light is still shining on in surpassing splendor. The light has come. So that's just my sharing.
Yeah, thank you very much. And thank you very much for reminding us about that piece about gentleness. You know, being gentle with ourselves and being gentle with others. You know, gentleness is a, you could call it a, I can't find the word I want to say. It's like on the tip of my tongue, but I can't find it. So I'll use another word. I don't like it as much, but gentleness is an aspect of peace, right? Gentleness is an aspect of peace. So when you're being gentle, you're being peaceful, right? So you're being yourself when you're being gentle. A facet, that's the word. Thank you, Nancy. Yeah, thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, gentleness is a facet of peace. Thank you. And Ken, the mic is yours.
And reading workbook lesson 78, Let Miracles Replace All Grievances, one of the practice methods was to look at somebody that you were having grievances with and see the Christ within them. And because I am following my guidance, which is to let go of attachments and expectations, that attachment is to Rebecca, my wife. And so there's a lot of resentment in my trying to let go of that attachment, because we are very close to each other. We're very attached. But to let go of that attachment that is ego-based. So it was very wonderful to say, okay, this is easy. Every time I walk around and I see Rebecca, I will remember this practice. And it was truly amazing to look at her and immediately see the grievance fade and see the Christ within her. And it really made it very special. And there was a lot of the attachment and grievance released in doing that repeatedly. So that was the one lesson that really stuck with me, letting go of the mic.
Thank you very much, Ken. And by the way, you and Rebecca are going to have baby rabbits. There's a mama rabbit that has built a nest underneath your front porch. So you're going to have babies pretty soon. Every time I go over, I went over to pick up the package one day and went over to, and she was, that day she was building the nest. She was, you know, pulling weeds and stuff. She was helping you de-weed your garden. She was pulling weeds out and taking the weeds under the porch to build the nest. And then today I went over and it was all snowy today. But she was just sitting right there on the step, and I tried to tell her she didn't have to be scared and tried to walk very gently up the steps. But of course she got scared and ran right back under the porch. So you're going to have babies. All right, so let's go ahead and look at, I'm going to look at lesson 9. You guys, this is the point where you just get to listen, right? Lesson 9 in The Way of Mastery, this is called All Events Are Neutral. Your lived experience is that momentarily your attention seems to be focused on your unique world, which shares some things in common with many other beings. You have what is called in your world a consensus reality. We would say a consensus experience born out of a universal reality. So the consensus reality, which is the one that we would agree on, for example, if you all were with me when I went over to Ken's house today to start the radio and you saw the little bunny you know, you would agree that that was a bunny or a rabbit or, you know, whatever you called her, but you would definitely agree with me on that. You would also agree that it was snowing, right? you would agree, you know, that a computer is a computer, right? You would agree that a book is a book, a pillow is a pillow, right? So that's the consensus reality. And that consensus reality comes from all of us, right? Our totality, you know, through what we are calling the code, through what Buddha called interdependent co-arising. We create the world, and part of that world we kind of all see in the same way. You know, we all see a flower as a flower. We may have different ideas about the flower. Oh, my mic is going in and out. Is that true for everyone? Can't hear me well? Well, shoot, I don't know what to do about that. What I can do is try leaving and coming back. That's about it. So I'll do that. I'll leave and come back.
Hi, everyone. Back. Okay, I'm letting go of the...
Okay, so we'll see what happens. Actually, when I came in, I couldn't tell that Cheryl had the mic, so I'm wondering if it's me or if it's Pal Talk. Was Cheryl also going out for you guys? Can you guys... No. Okay. All right. Well, then maybe it's something that has to do with around here. Let's see what happens. So as I was saying, we have a consensus reality where we all agree, you know, like that's a flower. You know, we'd all agree, yes, that's a flower. But then we also have, you know, individual realities or individual perceptions where we might have different feelings about that flower. You know, some of us may think that flower is beautiful. Some of us may think that flower is kind of plain. Some of us may think that flower is a weed. You know, I don't like that flower. It's a weed. It's taking over my yard. You know, so we can have different individual perceptions. And we learned all about this in the code, right? The consensus reality and then also the individual perceptions. And this is the first thing that the Way of Mastery Chapter 9 talks about. And in fact, it talks about how we create out of this consensus reality, how we still create our own individual perception. And it gives an example. It says, when you look upon a friend and the mind moves from neutrality, neutrality being, for example, person, and it moves from neutrality, which is where you begin every experience, into thought, that is my friend, Mary, you are beginning to change the experience. So by labeling the person as my friend, you begin to change the experience. It's no longer a neutral consensus reality, right? You know, I might say, for example, I'm going to pick on Danielle because she's my friend, so... Here we go. You know, I may say, you know, Danielle's my friend. I think she's really funny. I really like her. And somebody else may say, well, you know, I've never even heard her talk. You know, I don't know. You know, she doesn't talk at all, right? And we could have totally different impressions of the same individual. So we can both agree that, you know, there's a redhead standing here, but we have totally different impressions. And so that's the consensus reality. There's a redhead standing here. And then the individual reality, how we label that redhead, what we think of that redhead, you know, all of that. So with that said, the Way of Mastery continues. All webs of relationship, all energy fields are absolutely neutral. What creates experience is how you decide you will view that web of relationship or that field of energy. The effect of that decision is also completely neutral. So I'm still going to pick on Danielle, but I'm going to be the person that doesn't like Danielle right now. Okay, so Danielle, just hold on to your horses. So, I don't like Danielle because she never talks to me. And in fact, what I'm not really looking at is that I'm personally self-conscious myself, thinking people don't like me, and I'm using Danielle's not talking to me to prove to me that I'm not likable, right? So I don't like that, Danielle. She never talks to me. And then whenever I'm around Danielle, I'm going to feel something as a result of that decision about her, right? And, let's say that what I feel is uncomfortable. I'm just uncomfortable around her. I never know how to act around her, right? I'm uncomfortable around her. What this that I just read is saying is that feeling of being uncomfortable around Danielle is also neutral. But the mistake that we make is we don't see that as neutral. We don't see my feeling of being uncomfortable around Danielle as neutral. We don't see my feeling of loving Danielle and being super comfortable around her as neutral, right? We see those two feelings as very, very different, and we think they have meaning. And because we give our feelings meaning, we continue what you guys have already learned about. We continue that loop. Remember the loop? What I think, I see. What I see, I experience. What I experience, I think. So first, I think, I think Danielle's rude. She never says anything. I see, this rude person, and I secretly believe that she's not talking to me because I'm not likable. And then I experience that feeling of being uncomfortable around her, right? And then I think about it again. And I'm creating my own experience, and it's a completely different experience than like Jacqueline's experience of Danielle, who thinks that she's completely delightful and absolutely funny and the sweetest, most innocent person on the planet, right? And so what the Way of Mastery is trying to tell us is if we make the mistake of not seeing Danielle as neutral, we have another opportunity to catch that. Remember how last week it talked about throwing stones into our awareness? And whenever you throw a stone into your awareness, it creates ripples, right? So when the ripples come, Danielle rocks. That's funny, because I'm talking about throwing stones, and we're using Danielle as the stone, so that's kind of funny. Anyway, so I'm throwing stones into the awareness, and these ripples are coming. When the ripples come, I have another opportunity to see them as neutral. If I can see the ripples when they come as neutral, I'm going to be free of that loop, what I think I see, what I see I experience, what I experience I think. So again, going with the example of, I don't like that Danielle girl, she never talks. And now I come into a room somewhere and she's there and I feel that discomfort. Remember how we talked about in 1 Thessalonians that any lack of peace is an opportunity to be healed. So I look at this discomfort I feel when Danielle's around, and I realize this is an opportunity to be healed. This feeling is just a ripple from a stone that I threw in earlier. And it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything about Danielle. It doesn't actually mean that she's rude. It doesn't mean anything about me. It doesn't mean that I'm actually unlikable. If it means anything, the only thing it means is that I threw a stone into my pool of awareness and now I'm experiencing it. But it has no more meaning than that. And if we can start to experience our feelings as neutral, which is exactly the same thing 1 Thessalonians was teaching, right? Those stabs to our peace. We're going to get another leg up on healing. One of the challenges that a lot of people have when they're practicing healing the mind is they can start to see some of the thoughts as not true. Right? They can start to see some of the thoughts are just thoughts, and a thought can be let go, right? But for some reason, we tend to take our feelings more seriously. If I feel it, it's true. Right? If I feel guilty, that means I am guilty. If I feel unlikable or unworthy or stupid, that means I am unlikable or unworthy or stupid. And what the Way of Mastery is telling us is no, all that means is you threw a rock in the pool of your awareness and now you're experiencing the ripple. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean the rock was true. It doesn't mean the ripple's true. You're only experiencing what you created. And if we can adopt that attitude, we can heal so much quicker. I'm only experiencing guilt because I believed a guilt thought. I'm only experiencing jealousy because I believed a jealousy thought. I'm only experiencing this discomfort around Danielle because I believed I'm unlikable and I perceived her as proving it to me, right? It asks us, and of course the Way of Mastery, as you know, has its own style, just like any book has its own style. But it asks us to choose what we want our primary perception to be, and then let that be our guiding light in our third dimensional experience. That's what I meant by style. Let that be our guiding light in our third dimensional experience. And it recommends that we ask this question. What do I choose to communicate to the world with every gesture, with every breath, with every word spoken, and with every decision made? It says, ceaselessly, you are engaged in teaching the world what you believe holds the greatest truth, the greatest value. And this is really the same teaching that, again, we saw in NTI Ephesians, the code. We also saw this in NTI Luke chapter 9, that whatever I am believing, not only am I throwing those rocks in the pool of awareness and I'm experiencing the ripples, but if you think again about throwing up, you know, imagine that you're standing directly south of a pond. You're directly south of a pond and you throw a stone in. Those ripples don't just travel south, do they? Those ripples travel in a 360-degree circle. They travel in all directions. So when I throw a stone into the clear pool of awareness and it creates ripples, not only do I experience the effects of the ripples, but in some way, those ripples go out into the world and they're experienced in the world as well. And so what this is saying is knowing that I'm going to experience the effect of my ripple and knowing that others are going to experience the effect of my ripple, it's a good idea to really hold in our minds all of the time, what is it that I want to teach or what is it that I want to share or what is it that I want to extend into the world? Do I want to extend, for example, the idea of I'm unlikable? And I'll tell you how to look at that. It's not that if I mean, it could happen. It could happen that if I hold on to the idea I'm unlikable enough about Danielle, Danielle with her own insecurity is going to sense my insecurity, but she's going to, you know, perceive it through her unworthiness thought, and she's going to start not liking to be around me because she thinks I don't like to be around her. So it could be that my unlikable thought is going to manifest into Danielle not liking me either. Right? But that's not the only way to look at this, because it's not about me. You might remember that in, I think it was NTI Colossians, it said that our thoughts go out there without any favoritism for the one that believed the thought. So what that means is, I think I'm unlikable. I believe that thought. I throw that stone into the pool. I believe it again when I'm around Danielle and that uncomfortable feeling comes. I continue to believe I'm unlikable, so I'm throwing more stones in the pool. And what's happening is that 360-degree ripple is going out and other people are picking up I'm unlikable and they're believing it about themselves. Or they're projecting it onto their husband or their wife or their boss. They're believing it in their own little personal world. They may not even know me. They don't see me as unlikable, but they pick up on the unlikable journey, on the unlikable energy, and it becomes a part of their story. It becomes a part of their experience in some way. So the question that the Way of Mastery is asking us to ask ourselves throughout the day is, what kind of energy do I want to share with the world? And I would add to that, what kind of energy do I want to experience? What do I want to experience and what do I want to share? And Lori's saying, so what's neutral? Everything's neutral. I mean, that's the funny thing. It's only not neutral if we label it as something else. So again, even that feeling, when that, you know, let's say, Lori, I'm going to use you now. We're going to give Danielle a break. Let's say, Lori, that you have an attack thought. I'm going to pick on Jay because he just typed. Let's say, Lori, that you don't like Jay. And so you're having attack thoughts about Jay. And you're throwing stones into the pond. And I, being one of the, you know, many, many people that gets affected by those ripples, I then start to experience that, you know, I don't like thought. Only I experience that I don't like thought, and I, you know, Ruby is in my orbit, so suddenly I'm starting to have these feelings that I don't like Ruby. Okay, so what the Way of Mastery is saying is the feelings that I'm picking up on that I don't like Ruby or whoever else is around me, those are completely neutral feelings. They're actually just ripples on a pond. They're not really personal. I don't have to believe them. They're nothing. They're neutral. They may feel like I don't like someone in my orbit, or it may feel like I don't like myself, but I don't have to give it that much integrity. My feelings do not have integrity. My feelings are not true. They are just ripples based on the types of stones that I and everyone else is throwing into the pond. Yeah, my feelings do not have integrity, and they don't even mean what they appear to mean. It may feel like I don't like Ruby. Sorry, Ruby, for using you. It may feel like I don't like Ruby, but that's not true. What it really is just a ripple from a stone that got thrown, and that's pretty dang neutral. So if you can start looking at your thoughts and feelings as neutral, they don't mean anything but a stone has been thrown. Right? They don't mean anything but this has been believed before. Right? They don't mean anything but then you're going to be able to start letting go of them much, much sooner rather than making them personal and giving them meaning. All right, Kathy, the mic is yours.
That for me, my feelings do not have integrity. That's huge for me. That's really quite helpful to really sit with and take into contemplation. One of the things that I shared in the seven steps on Sunday evening was my discourse around the Elie Ruzdahr and Michael Langford teachings, and this was that discouragement occurred, I'm going to say at least a year ago now, that I can recall. I'm not very good with time so much, but it's been at least a year since I had those feelings of deep discouragement. And even as I experienced those feelings, there was a recognition that that they weren't true, that that I really felt like both of these people were trying to be helpful, that they were sharing in the way that they were sharing for a specific purpose. And it was a very direct, as you call it, Regina, strict message. And something within me that definitely appreciates that sort of an approach, maybe it's my Catholic school upbringing, I don't really know, but it has always appealed to me to respond to a stricter approach, because I recognize how I can squiggle out of practice, or I can squiggle out of dedication to my purpose with other distractions and detours and, you know, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, whatever it might be for the day. And so to bypass that disappointment or the feelings that words can evoke, I have to, again, go back to that willingness. I mean, what is my purpose? What is it that I really want here, and reconsider? And I definitely, despite my disappointment, did not let that deter me from the reading or the opening my mind to the messages that were being given from either Ellie or Michael. And so I'm glad I didn't listen to that disappointment. I felt it. I definitely felt it. It felt quite strong. And I did feel sadness. I did feel that the sense of the impossibility of it for myself. And I had to look at all of that. And I'm glad I didn't get stuck, totally stuck in the overwhelming feelings that were associated with that. And now to have you just say that, you know, my feelings, they don't have any integrity, just feels really huge to me. So I appreciate you letting me share. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. And one thing you said that was really important, Kathy, is you said, I felt it. I felt that disappointment. I felt that sadness, right? And again, remember, we just read NTI 1 Thessalonians. So we're not, when we say that our feelings don't have any integrity, we don't mean, so deny your feelings, right? What we mean is, don't believe them even while you're feeling them. You know, even while you're feeling them, don't believe them. This is a new skill. In fact, if anything takes something neutral and makes it not neutral, it's the believing aspect. And it doesn't really make it not neutral, but it certainly makes it appear like it's not neutral. Yeah, so neutral is not believing the feelings. That's a good way to see it. Yeah, the real neutrality of it is, I mean, let me see if I can find another way to explain this. Imagine that we have a bunch of popsicle sticks. And what we have decided to do is just take turns one after the other, laying the popsicle sticks on top of each other, right? And so I lay a popsicle stick, then Joanne lays a popsicle stick, then Jacqueline lays a popsicle stick, and we do this for a while, and we get to around 50 popsicle sticks, and Nancy says, wow, it looks like a church. You know, and Jay says, no, I don't think it looks like a church. I think it looks like the United Nations building. You know, and somebody else says, it's not a building at all, it's a tree, right? It's just a pile of popsicle sticks, right? It's neutral. And what we're getting out of it is coming from our perceptions and our believing. So what the Way of Mastery is explaining is this entire world that we create through consensus energy is really just energy. We can even say it's just light. Some of you may remember my apple experience. Every bit of it is just light. If you remember when I had the apple experience, Jasmine took a bite out of me as the apple, right? She took a bite out of me. Some people would think taking a bite is like a violent action and that the apple may suffer. But remember, the apple only experienced light interacting with light. Right? There was in the apple's perception, because the apple doesn't have an ego mind, in the apple's perception, nothing was changing, nothing was happening, everything was light, everything was living awareness, that's all that was going on, right? So this entire world is that. But it doesn't appear to be that. And the reason it doesn't appear to be that is because of our believing. And our believing is throwing rocks into the clear pool of awareness. That's creating the ripples. We're experiencing the ripples, believing the ripples, and therefore throwing more rocks, right? Every time we believe a ripple, we throw more rocks and create more ripples. And it's just, we've really got a ripply pool of awareness now. And so what we want to do is we want to cease the believing so that we're not throwing any more stones into the pool, so that pool can calm down and be the clear pool of awareness that it originally was. But part of the challenge is we've already thrown a heck of a lot of rocks, and those ripples are coming our way. Right? It's already destined from the rocks we've already thrown. And so if as soon as a feeling of guilt hits me, or as soon as a feeling of fear hits me, or a feeling of anger, or a feeling of I don't like me, or I don't like you, or anything else, if I believe it again, I'm just going to throw more rocks, and that pool is never going to go cool, never going to go still. So I have to understand that these feelings that are coming at me, that is just the result of rocks that I and others, because we're all connected, that we have already thrown into the pool, and it's nothing more than that. It doesn't mean a thing. And if I can hold on to that, this is just the effect of rocks that have already been thrown in the pool. And I can just be with it and not give it any more meaning than that. I will be able to be with it without throwing more rocks. And that benefits me and you. It benefits the whole world. But in order to do that, we have to get to the point where we see that our feelings don't mean anything. You know, it's funny because A Course in Miracles, when we first started A Course in Miracles, the very first lesson, flipping back to the beginning, right? It started pointing in this direction. It says, nothing I see in this room means anything. I have given everything I see in this room all the meaning it has for me. I do not understand anything I see in this room. These thoughts do not mean anything. They are like the things I see in this room. And that's really the same teaching, except what the Course did not put in here, which the Way of Mastery did, is that these feelings do not mean anything. And they're the same as the things I see in this room. I give my feelings all the meaning they have for me. You know, I'm going to pick on Danielle again. Danielle, I do know Danielle very, very well. I mean, she lived with me for a bunch of years, 6 years or something like that. So I know her pretty dang well. And one thing about Danielle, one ripple that she feels and she believes frequently is guilt. So sometimes Danielle can see herself as quite guilty. And she can even tell me why she feels guilty, the exact reason. And yet, I don't see her as guilty. In fact, I have been known to laugh because I thought the reason was so funny, right? Just not at all pointed to guilt. So does her guilt mean anything? Is that a part of consensus reality, or is that just an individual perception? If it was a part of consensus reality, we would all have to agree on it, just like we all would agree if we were here and I pointed outside and said, that's a tree. We'd all say, okay, yeah, that's a tree, you know? Where we differ is that a pretty tree, an ugly tree, and, you know, whatever else we want to say about the tree. So there's consensus reality and individual reality. And the individual reality is where we throw the stones in. So that feeling of guilt that hits Danielle, that she now believes, it's neutral. It's a part of individual reality, which isn't reality at all. It's an energy being experienced, and there have been a whole lot of guilt rocks thrown in our world, not just by Danielle, but by everyone. I mean, she is definitely experiencing an energy that's out there, but that energy does not prove she's guilty, no matter how much she feels it. That energy only proves that we're throwing a whole lot of guilt rocks. Do you see the difference? That's all it proves. We're creating an energy that we call guilt. And then we're experiencing the energy that we're creating. That's all that it proves. And so I've given everything in this room all the meaning it has for me. I have given my thoughts all the meaning they have for me. And I have given my feelings all the meaning they have for me. They don't have any real meaning. They don't have any integrity. And when feelings come, I am completely free to see them as nothing but the effect of past rocks having been thrown into the pool of awareness. I don't have to believe them at all. I do need to feel them. And the reason I need to feel them is if I'm afraid to feel them, it's because I'm believing them. So I'm going to throw more rocks, right? If I'm afraid to feel guilt, it's because I believe it. If I'm afraid to feel unworthiness, it's because I believe it. If I'm afraid to feel jealousy, it's because I believe that's something, it's saying something about me, right? So in allowing ourselves to feel it, we're actually giving it less power. And in fact, the more you can see it as just energy created by the whole that's passing through your energy wave right now, because really your body is nothing but energy either. It's just energy passing through your energy, and so you're experiencing it, and you see it as nothing more than that, you're going to heal a whole lot faster. Because you're not throwing more rocks. Now, one thing that the Way of Mastery goes on to talk about, and it's talking about kind of our weaknesses here, but it's really good to look at our weaknesses because that's how we, you know, how we transcend them. By looking at them. So it says what happens is that once we begin to get this idea of neutrality, what we start to do is we start to allow ourselves to see some things as neutral. But we don't allow ourselves to see all things as neutral. We draw a line. You know, that line might be, if my child gets cancer, that's not neutral. Even if I get cancer, it might be neutral, right? Maybe I can even see that as neutral, but my child getting cancer, no. And so it asks us to look for where we're drawing the lines. Where are we not willing to say that's neutral? And I can choose how I experience this. Because wherever we're drawing the line, that's where we're automatically going to start throwing more rocks into the pool again. Yeah, Nancy says, being responsible for $1 million, not neutral. Yeah. For some people, for some people, it would be great, you know. So that's how we know it's an individual perception. Yeah, for you, exactly. It's an individual perception. So where are we drawing the lines? And start looking for where we're drawing the lines. Because the way that this works is what we would call total forgiveness or total neutrality. Now again, that doesn't mean, yeah, I understand it's not your money. I get it. I do get that. But maybe that's where we draw the line. Like if I lose my money, it's okay. But if I lose somebody else's money, see how the line gets drawn? Right? And that's what that's what he's asking us to look for. Where have we drawn the lines? And we all have those lines, right? So that's a perfect example, Nancy. We can probably all understand it. Probably none of us would want to lose our own money, but we certainly don't want to lose somebody else's money, right? That's where we draw the line. So that's what we're asked to look for, is where do we draw those lines? Because where we draw those lines and then agree within ourselves that that's valid, those lines are going to get triggered at some point, and we're going to start throwing a whole lot of rocks into the pool. How do we experience neutrality? We experience neutrality with peace, with clarity, sometimes with joy, sometimes with compassion. But the way neutrality is experienced is that we experience everything. I want to get away from the word neutral for a moment, because neutral is such a boring sounding, uninvolved sounding word. And actually, we can experience everything with depth, but with allowance and acceptance. With an understanding between what is temporary and passing and what is real and eternal or sustaining. You know, somebody who experiences everything as neutral might actually be much better at handling a tragic situation than someone who's all panicked and upset about it, right? They may be much more effective at handling the situation. So neutral does not mean, completely uninvolved. It just means that your pool of awareness is not getting all messed up with a lot of rocks being thrown. You're able to be clear. You're able to see the situation for what it is, right? You're able to be present in the moment. Yeah, no judgment. Presence. And I think that's what we all want. I think that's why we're all here. I think we all want to be that presence. And so we need to understand that what gets in our way of being that presence, that clear pool of awareness, is the rocks that we're throwing. And again, the point of this particular lesson, because last week was showing us that we throw the rocks by believing the thoughts, but the point of this particular lesson is the rocks we've already thrown, those ripples are still coming at us. And when those ripples come at us, we want to be able to learn to be with those emotions and just ride them out and see them as nothing more than rocks we've already thrown. Don't believe it again now, because you throw more rocks into the pool now. Let's see, again, it's telling us what's happening. I'm just kind of scanning to see what he's saying, and he's just kind of continuing that thought in the way of mastery right now about watch where you've drawn the line. Watch where you've said, I can't handle this. In fact, he says, look well then to see where you have placed a value and insisted that the value is unshakable. How many times in your days do you say, oh boy, if my dog ever died, I would not be able to handle that? you know? Or maybe you say, if the banks collapse, oh God, I wouldn't be able to take that. You know, again, watch for these places where you're drawing these lines, where when that thing happens or something very similar happens, you're going to definitely just believe it. You've already decided in advance you're going to believe it, right? And you're going to believe it, and you're going to start throwing lots of rocks. So he's asking us to watch for that. Yeah, he says, you have the power to witness a field of energy circulating through the body and mind as just a dance of energy. Just a dance of energy. And this was really important to me. I don't think I had read it in the Way of Mastery. I think that I had just kind of realized it through my own journaling process. But this was really important to me, letting go of psychological fear. You know, being worried about the future and that kind of thing. Because I was experiencing a lot of fear. Again, this was a time when I had given up my job. I wasn't receiving donations or any kind of incoming money. And the money was being spent. And, you know, there was just always this foreboding about the day I ran out of money, you know, which actually never happened. Before I ran out of money, more money came. But anyway, there was this thought the day was going to come. And there was this foreboding about the day I ran out of money. And it was a very strong fear, as you can imagine. And every time the fear would come, I would start believing it again. So what got me out of that cycle was this realization that fear is just energy passing through the body. And so when it would come, and sometimes it felt very, very strong, I would literally focus on that. It's just energy passing through the body. This is just energy from my past believing. And I would remember, if I don't want to continue to experience this, I don't want to believe it again now. And I would just look at it. What does this energy feel like in my belly? What does this energy feel like in my chest? What does this energy feel like, you know? And I would just watch it. But I would call it, I wouldn't call it fear. Maybe that's really important. I called it this energy by that point. So if I was feeling what we would call guilt, I wouldn't call it guilt. I would call it this energy. All right, I'm looking at this energy is here now. And in fact, one of the things he says in this particular chapter is when you name something, remember we went through that thing, if you name a person your friend, he used that example, if you name something, you've already changed it. It's not neutral anymore. She's my friend, right? So if you name fear, it's not neutral anymore. If you name guilt, it's not neutral anymore. This is an energy. Right? Keep it as neutral as possible, even in your language, even in your thinking about it. And you'll be able to allow that energy to be there and allow that energy to move on without throwing more rocks. So, yeah, you have the power to witness this field of energy circulating through the body and mind and to see it as a dance of energy. You could look upon it with curiosity and with wonder if you defined it differently, right? It's energy. It's not fear. It's not guilt. It's not whatever. Let's see if there's anything else I want to hit on. He also just points out that you are not a victim of what you've created. He says, when you experience the reverberation, the coming back of the ripples you have sent out, in that very moment, you are not the victim of what you have created. You are free to choose how you will experience the effect of that ripple. And that's an important point, because sometimes when people hear these teachings, they do hear these teachings with the wrong mind. So instead of hearing these teachings in the empowering way that I'm attempting to share the message, they'll hear it as, oh God, I've thrown 50,000 guilt rocks. I'm going to have to feel so much guilt, you know, and they take it with that attitude. You know, and when you take it with that attitude and you're dreading your guilt coming back at you, when that guilt comes back at you, trust me, you're going to throw some rocks. He wants you to point out you are never the victim. It is true. You know, we would be lying to you if we said these ripples aren't going to come. But you're not the victim because you have the power to choose how to see it. You have the power to remember this is just energy. You have the power to remember this energy is only here because of rocks that were thrown in the past. I'm really not interested in this kind of energy again, therefore I don't want to throw a rock now. I'm just going to let it be here. It's going to pass. It's just temporary. You have the ability to remember all of this, and you have the ability to choose to see it that way. And not only that, it's the truth. And this is how you become free. Yeah, Nancy says, advice everywhere, but have to decide. You have to make the decision. And this is why nobody can do it for you, right? You have to decide. You have to hear this. You have to hear the reason in this, the good reasoning. And you have to say, you know what? I'm going to do this. The next time I feel, you know, whatever it is I feel, the worry energy coming on, I'm going to remember it's just energy. And I remember when I was going through this on my own, I remember thinking, you know, like if unworthiness would come, this deep unworthiness would come, I would say to myself, I totally understand why this is here. I've thrown a lot of unworthiness rocks. I get it. I know why it's here. You know, I get it. But I'm willing not to believe it this time. I'm willing just to feel it. I'm willing to see that it's here because of the past. Right? And in fact, you could say that when you believe these ripples when they come, you're believing the past again. You're staying stuck in the past. Even though it may appear that it's about a current story, the truth is it's the past coming back. And in fact, NTI Ephesians said that too. NTI Ephesians says that the past stands before you now, you know, so that you can let it go. The past stands before you now so you can let it go. Yeah, like the shouting in the cave. And you know what's really interesting about this teaching is that everywhere we look, we see the same teaching. Right? Even in What the Bleep, they talked about how what we're experiencing is actually the past. Do you remember that? It was a little complicated how they talked about it. They had talked about how the brain actually has the ability to project back into the past where our perception is. Do you remember that little piece? Yeah, the past stands before you now, so you can let it go. He says that if you experience the ripple, and again, this is the language of the Way of Mastery, if you experience the ripple with unconditional freedom, unconditional acceptance, love, forgiveness, neutrality, and innocence, you literally diffuse the effects of that ripple upon the pool of your consciousness. And if nobody's made the connection yet, this is exactly what rest, accept, and trust is all about, right? It's just helping us, it's a tool to help us experience these ripples in a way that we won't believe them again. If you experience the ripple with unconditional freedom, with unconditional acceptance and love, forgiveness, neutrality, and innocence, you literally diffuse the effects of that ripple upon the pool of your consciousness. See if there was anything else here I wanted to share. Here's a paragraph I starred. I'm going to pass on that one. That was kind of like a little exercise. Do we have time to do it? No, I'm going to pass on that. I think we would need a little more time to do that. Maybe I'll come back to it someday if we have some extra time. I'll fold the page down. But anyway, I think y'all get the message. I think that you get it and you understand it. And now to put it into practice, right? Put it into practice to remember that everything is neutral. You know, that's why some of us will, you know, like a particular flower and some of us won't like the same flower because the flower itself is neutral. The consensus reality is it's a flower. But beyond that, the individual experiences, we each give it the meaning it has for us. I give everything in this room all the meaning it has for me. I give all of my thoughts all the meaning it has for me. And I give my feelings all the meaning they have for me. In reality, it's all neutral. And if I can see it as neutral, I stop throwing rocks. I go back to the clear pool of awareness, and then I'm that presence. That presence in the world. That clear, peaceful presence. All right, so it's time for me to give you guys your homework assignment for next week. So starting tomorrow, we'll do workbook lessons 80 to 86. Workbook lessons 80 to 86. We're also still practicing awareness, watching awareness meditation for 10 to 15 minutes each day. And often that happens right along with the workbook exercises, so it's not anything extra. In fact, the workbook has us doing it twice a day. So my requirement is less than the workbooks. But workbook lessons 80 to 86, practice awareness, watching awareness for 10 to 15 minutes a day. Homework assignment B. You're going to read NTI 2 Timothy chapters 1 to 4, which is pages 383 to 389. And I'm pasting that in the room for you. NTI 2 Timothy chapters 1 to 4, which is pages 383 and 389. And NTI 2 Timothy kind of tells a story in a way. The story of NTI is that, again, we created this world because we wanted to experience something different from truth. Do you remember that from Romans? We wanted to experience something different. And so what it's telling us, instead of using the rocks and the ripples story, the rocks and the water and the ripples story, is it's saying we wanted to experience this, and so in order to be done with it, we need to allow ourselves to experience it. So it kind of has a story. You know, lots of teachings have stories around them. But the point of NTI 2 Timothy chapters 1 through 4 is to help us get used to allowing ourselves to experience those feelings without believing them. So it's really along the same lines as the teaching I just read from The Way of Mastery. It just comes about it from a different approach. But that's what NTI 2 Timothy chapters 1 through 4 is all about. And then the last assignment is an optional assignment. Again, it's a song. If people like, you know, having songs help with the practice. It's another Susan Boyle song. If you find it helpful to be reminded that God or awakeness is present with you right now, listen to Susan Boyle, Like a Bridge Over Troubled Water, as often as it feels helpful throughout the week. And you can just find that song by searching YouTube for it. You can just type in Susan Boyle Bridge Over, and that will be enough. But I will also link to it when I post this audio, so it will be linked in the audio. And that's, again, an optional assignment. That's just for those of you who really enjoy the music aspect. That's a song that will help this week. All right, so that's it. We're done. You guys have fun, and I'll see some of you in sharing in contemplation together. Bye.